Today on Real Radio.
Does cancer dethrone God? Does your financial collapse dethrone God? Does something render him impotent to help you? Has he now lost power? Absolutely not.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. In these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us how to be content in every circumstance we face in life. True riches come from Christ, and what he did on the cross gives us salvation. He is our reason to rejoice in all things, knowing that our names are written in the book of life. So whether we are in want or we have all we need, we can be satisfied in Christ. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us to do good to all, especially to those who are hurting. As believers, we're not exempt from suffering, but we can get rich quick when we continue to serve others in spite of our own hardships. And now, continuing his lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The church, if it's filled with the Holy Spirit and is going to decide, I'm going to do the Word of God. By the way, the church in each community, think about that. Well, our church is only 10 people or 10,000. Who cares? You think Jesus cares? You don't have to be a church of 10,000 people to do anything. All you have to do is be a church of one or two people. And you act out your Christianity with practical deeds. Not because God's impressed or you're trying to impress God and so you'll go to heaven. But because you are going to heaven, you want to make a difference before you leave here. Yeah. You know what? I got a picture last night. It was an awesome picture from Tony Perkins. It was beautiful. I'll show it to you next week, maybe. You remember all the love packs for Louisiana you guys sent because of the Great Flood? Yeah. They arrived, and they were getting them ready to distribute today. Almost 2,500 boxes so the people of Louisiana who have been devastated can have a Christmas. Listen, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You heard about a great flood and a friend of ours who's in need and he's trying to take care of his church and the community. And what has happened? That church, that community has now circled around that church because they're in great need and people are accepting Christ. Literally, they're hearing the gospel and now they're going to have a Christmas. And listen, Tony and his team are not asking people, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Okay, then here's a gift for you. Oh, no, 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 no. None of that junk. It's, are you in need? Here's a gift for you. Okay? This is vitally important. Paul is being ministered to by the love of people so far away that the travel time would be equivalent to maybe you and I trying to get down to the Antarctic or something. It's that far away, and they did it anyway. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, listen to this, Galatians 6, 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, there you go, open your eyes, look for the opportunity, starting today, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You heard the announcement today, and you guys are amazing, seriously, I'm not just saying this. You heard the announcement today, happens every year for the last 25 years, an announcement is made. You guys respond. People who are hurting in this church will have a Thanksgiving or a Christmas. Amen. And at school time, parents that can't afford it, their kids get backpacks. In fact, you know what you did last time with back to school? With back to school, you guys supplied so many backpacks with so much school materials that we didn't have enough kids. So we turned around and got them out to other churches so that they could bless their communities where they're at. You did that. You did that. Jesus said, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. But I'll give you a little bit of a snippet. Downtown, Los Angeles, you're helping there. Watts, you know Watts? It's notorious. You're helping a church there make a big difference. You're feeding gang members in the name of Jesus. Who would do that? Amen. You don't even realize, well, I just put $10, Pastor, in the offering. What can 10 bucks do? Are you kidding? 10 bucks with thousands of people? Absolutely transforms people. How's that? How can 10 bucks make such a big difference? Because that 10 bucks is wrapped in a burrito, so to speak. and it's given in the name of Jesus, and the gospel is given. Literally. You make a difference around the world. You have affected Russia for decades, Germany, China, Macau, Mexico on a continuous basis. I'm delighted. I got to tell you right now, God is my witness. I'm delighted. On the day of judgment, you're going to stand up there and God is going to unfurl all of your investments that you made in the name of Christ. And some of it is monetary. And you put that dollar in there and you wonder, well, that must just evaporated and who knows whatever. Oh, guess what? You're going to find out that on the day of judgment, it was put together and it was handed over and it took care of somebody in northern Iraq that's rescuing women from ISIS right now today. And you say, I didn't know that. That's why I'm going to be like, yes! Woo! Pumped about that. Acts of kindness, acts of love. From the beginning of the very opening moments of the Christian church, from the day of Pentecost, are you aware of the fact that for the bulk of the first century of believers, did you know that predominantly they were mostly slaves that became believers in Christianity? Did you know that? They were mostly slaves. They had nothing. And then they were granted everything in Christ. How do you get rich quick? It's a decision that you make today to take your life, your flesh, your very skin, because you name the name of Jesus, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, that you're going to do Jesus things. It's amazing if you think about that. Didn't Jesus say that when the Pharisees were hammering on him about what's reality, Jesus said, I tell you what, you want to talk about reality? There was a man who was coming up from Jericho to Jerusalem and he fell among thieves. And they beat him up and they left him for dead. And a Jewish priest walked by and saw the man and passed on the other side of the street and kept going. And then one of the temple servants came by and walked over and took a look at the man and saw that he was bleeding and in great pain and hurt. And then he went on his way. And then, and this just set the crowd on fire when Jesus said, but then a Samaritan came. Samaritans were scumballs. If you're Jewish, the worst thing around is a Samaritan. It'd be like, you know, I don't know, if you're an Angel fan, it'd be like a Dodger fan coming by. Can you imagine? And so the Samaritan came by, and the Bible says, Jesus said, that man had compassion on him. And that man bound up his wounds and put him on his donkey and took him into an inn and told the man, whatever it takes to get him fixed, you charge me that. And when I come back through here, I'll pay the bill. Jesus said, I want to ask you something. Which one was the neighbor to that man? They were busted. They had all the religion and all the theology. Couldn't fault them on it. They had it down perfect. They were so theologically correct. They were dead right. Dead. This Samaritan, he didn't know much, but he acted out the love of God. I don't care how many verses you can quote. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care. It doesn't matter. And the same is true for me. When I come down to the end of that off-ramp on the freeway, do I get in a debate with myself? Forgetting that I could be driving past an angel? Could it be God saying, Jack, I set this up for you? To share with them? To go up to them and say, hey, listen, and look, if you don't have anything, maybe you got a bottle of water in your car. Say, I don't have much, but I've got this water. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. What's your name? Mike? Mike, I'll be praying for you. Here's some water. Here's $3. See, we look at things like, it's only $3. I'm not going to give him $3 because our pride gets in the way and says, now, if I had $10, I'd give it to him. But $3, that's kind of like, what a joke. No, if you had $10, you'd say, it's $10. I'm not going to give it to him. Do you know what I'm saying? What's going on with us? Listen, when we're in need, when we ourselves are in need, we know what it's like to be reached out to. And the thing about the Christian faith is that we are to remember how much we are always in need. See, it doesn't matter if you're rich or not. You're in great need. It doesn't matter how poor you are or not, you're in great need. Because this whole epic moment that Paul is sharing with us is a matter of the heart. You want to get rich quick? It's not having some grand deposit placed in your bank or winning the lottery. It's having a heart change where something happens in your soul where you begin to understand that, number one, this world is full of suffering, but God is good. And the fact that Christians, listen, Christians are not exempt from suffering. I'll go so much to say, and we'll look at it more next week, is that Christians are ordained by God to suffer. You say, well, thank you, Pastor. I was just going to sign up today, and now I'm not. Let me make it clear. Everyone's going to suffer, Christian or not. When you're not a Christian, that suffering, hopefully, will get you to look up and cry out to God. But I'm talking to the Christian today. The Christian is not exempt from suffering. In fact, according to the Bible, again, next week, it's a badge of honor. It is a badge of honor in the verbiage used in the Greek language to the church in various books of the Bible. It is this. The word grace is used regarding suffering. It is a gift to the believer. You say, are you kidding me? Can you imagine going underneath your Christmas tree and pulling out a box and it's got your name on it and you open it up and it says grief? You unwrap it and it says cancer. You say, no, wait, Jack, you've gone too far. Wait a minute. How big is God? Who is he? What does he say? Does cancer dethrone God? Does your financial collapse dethrone God? Does something render him impotent to help you? Has he now lost power? Absolutely not. Christians suffer with a purpose. And listen, this is, and by the way, thank you for praying for me this last week. I was in the most terrifying scenario. All these brainiacs. And then there's little old me show up there and these guys were theological giants. And I think they just had me come and entertain them. I don't know, but here's the deal. You can write books and you can write commentaries and you can have multiple doctorates and all these things. I'm not knocking it. But you got to leave your office and be among God's people. Because number one, it keeps your feet on earth. Number two, you realize something. All the theoretical Christianese is only that until you see it lived out. You'll see no power in the ivory tower of study. I'm not disparaging study. We have got to study. But if that's the only thing you do, and you do not go out to those streets, you'll never see the power of what you've studied in action. I know you think, I say this time and time again, I know you might think I'm trying to bamboozle you or trying to coerce you into something, and I am not. I can tell you right now, and it's in line with what Paul is saying, the Philippian believers didn't just talk about it, they did it. And when they did it, they saw the power of God. And even if one person at the church in Philippi had a dollar and the other one had $1,000, they all got together and made things happen. In the name of Christ, 2,000 years later, and we are reading here in the 21st century about a group, a church that loved in action. Isn't it amazing? That's the kind of legacy that if Jesus doesn't come back today, that we leave to our kids and grandkids. The hours for us to shine like never before, find a need, the opportunities are there. They've been supplied by God. We miss them because we're not looking for them. And then when we do see them, we're immediately confronted with, I can't get involved. We cut ourselves right out of the wonderful equation. You say, I don't have the power. Skip ahead just for fun. Look down at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what it applies to. This is what, not the golf game, not the deal. Oh God, how can I help them? I don't know how to help them. I don't have the resources to help them. Oh God. And God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But what can I, in such a church so big, what can one person? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see a need? Meet it. Because it's ordained by God for you to see it. And he wants you to act on it. He's powerful that way. He's good that way. And then look at verse 11. How to get rich quick. Look for the God-ordained opportunities around you. These things are not only supplied by God, but they are designed by God. And it's through you. You see, well, why doesn't God just do something about it? Isn't that funny? Lord, that's an injustice. What a terrible thing that is. Do you understand as a believer? I'm only talking to Christians today. The Christian sees it, and God says, he taps you on the shoulder, and he says, I'm going to meet that need through you. I'll supply, but I'm going to do it through you. It's designed for you, custom built, tailor-made, we would say, for you, not for someone else. He says, listen, Paul says to them, not that I speak in regard to need. This is amazing. He lays down three incredible things. Number one, I have learned. Circle the word learned in whatever. Circle the word whatever state I'm in to be content. Circle the word content. This is kind of fun because you know what Paul does? He uses several words here that are native to pagan cults of his day. Pagan cults. And I think you're going to find this kind of acceptable in our culture. First of all, you see the word I have learned? The word learned is, I have learned over time. The word means I've got this in my skin now. It's something that over time I know is absolutely true. The word means you can't dislodge Paul from what he's learned. Do you know anything? You, having studied, you know absolutely certain it is absolutely true. If you're in science, for example, I'm not talking theoretical science, just like I'm not talking theoretical Christianity. I'm talking real. Did you know evolution's a theory still? Did you know that? Let's remember that. But physics, that's real. There are laws of science. Those are real. They're reproducible. You can bank on them. You know it's true. Nothing can budge your opinion from that. You've been fully brought beyond. We would say, well, I've been convinced. That even sounds flimsy. It's beyond convinced. You're absolutely certain. You know it more. Listen, this Ancestry.com stuff, you know, you go online, you find your family, if you want to find them. I'm trying to get away from them, I'm thinking. But, you know, you try to find your roots. And, you know, if you start digging around, I don't know if you're going to like what you find. Now, somebody here on staff, they went digging around, and they wound up finding out that they're related to John Adams and somebody on the Mayflower, and that was like his cousin. This guy went over here, and that guy, and he knew this person, and lo and behold, and I'm thinking, what are you working here for then if you got that lineage? And I'm thinking, man, if I trace my roots back, what am I going to find? Here's the deal. The fact of the matter is that as I look at my past, as I look at my existence, whatever it may be, God wants to transform our lives if we are paupers or if we're blue bloods. He wants to do something absolutely amazing. And Paul is saying, what I've learned is unshakable. You can study your history as a family and you may not be sure. It gets kind of vague. But listen, you ought to know, according to the Bible, that you are truly a child of the living God. The Bible says you're to know that. I understand the feeling. You and I feel unworthy. You and I feel like we fail him. I get that. We all feel that way. The only reason why you can feel that way is because you're in the family. You know him. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. I am more certain about me being born again than who I'm related to. Because God says so. Paul says, I've learned this. Number two, it's whatever state I'm in. Even California. Whatever state, whatever situation, whatever condition you're in. So listen, is it cancer? Is it a broken relationship? Is the marriage on the brink? Is it over? Is it relational with kids, family? What is it? Is it financial, with work. What is it? Whatever it is, whatever, any, all, absolute station or situation. And then the word content. Paul says to be content. Now you might look and say, Jack, this is the Bible. What else is he supposed to say? Excuse me, this is the Bible. The Bible is authored by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possessed the Apostle Paul, watch, number one, working this stuff out in his life for decades, just like he's doing it in your life. Because don't we want things to happen overnight? Of course we do. God doesn't work that way. It's a process of God working out in this world, because you are sanctified in heaven. God's working out your practical sanctification here on earth among us. Me with you, you with me. Living with each other, learning to love, learning to deal, learning to cope, learning to lean on God. And Paul says, I'm content. The Holy Spirit grabbed him and authored what you're reading right here in your scripture. And this is incredible, because God, who authored the Bible, cannot lie. That's why you cannot find contradictions in the Bible. That's why you cannot find an error in the scripture. God cannot lie. So watch this. God grabs Paul, transforms his life in an instant by putting the kingdom in his heart. He's born again of the Spirit of God, and now he begins to live his life. And all along the way, Paul has the same Old Testament promises that you and I have. But are they true? He had to learn that. So do you and I. Let's be honest. We think, well, you know what? I guess I'm supposed to just trust. Listen, that's not how you approach it. God is so wonderful. He says, trust me. And watch. He will give you life. Hello, listen, are you listening? He will give you the opportunity to live life so that as you go through it, he'll tap you on the shoulder and then say to you, I told you you could trust me. You know what I'm talking about? You just got to go out there and live it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you allow God to build you in a Christ-like character in the midst of your suffering. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you have any questions about anything you might have heard here on Real Radio, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Contact tab. We'd love to put you in contact with someone who can help you out. Once again, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So, Pastor Jack, I'm getting pretty excited. You use the words healthy diet. And when it comes to church, I mean, there's so many churches that get on one subject and that's it. That's what they talk about.
Yeah.
We're getting into a thing here coming up in the next few months. One night a month. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we're going to be doing one night a month beginning in September. In fact, specifically, it's September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th, Wednesday nights, all of them. At 7 o'clock Pacific time, we are going to do something we've never done here before. I'm a little concerned with the direction that people are going regarding current events and Bible prophecy.
Right.
And so what we want to do is lay down 30 minutes up front regarding the doctrines of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take the following 30 minutes. So the second segment of 30 minutes, we're going to be looking at current events, if they fit or if they matter. But we're not going to hype anything up. We're not going to create news, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And then the last 30 minutes, you'll be able to interact with us via texting your question to us. It's going to be a very special time. Consider it this, church/classroom/an interactive evening regarding these days in which we live in and what the Bible has to say, answering your concerns.
It's going to be a great time, September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th. I have already set those three nights aside in my calendar. I am not going to miss it. Hope you can be there too. Go to our website to find out more, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.